This is Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. We air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more.
Welcome to our environmental justice episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio with Melody Gao and Cindy Nguyen. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. In this episode, we will talk with Cindy Nguyen about environmental justice and her experiences with environmental education. Cindy is a Vietnamese-American environmental educator and artist, born and raised in Houston, Texas. Her background is in studio art and psychology at Rice University, where she was first involved in student organizing and education for Asian American community. She is currently studying justice-oriented education and developing her teaching practice at Islandwood and the University of Washington. Hi, Cindy. So our first question is, what inspired you to pursue a career in environmental education?
Yeah, I can definitely speak to that. I think my interest in education was always there back in college because just with the extracurricular things that I joined through my Vietnamese Student Association and various student clubs, I always feel like I had some sort of like part in helping to create an educational experience for my peers and also thinking about for youth as well. And so I think coming out of college, even though I hadn't yet known that I would want to be like a teacher or an educator, it kind of happened because I reflected a lot on which experiences that really impacted me as a student and also as a person. I believe, I think me being someone who is like always trying to communicate, was really passionate about communicating environmental issues and weaving that into a way where I could study environmental education as a way of helping me to also learn how to better communicate, to learn how to better bring awareness also to environmental justice. And not only just in general, like as a teacher, but specifically I was motivated because being Asian American, being Vietnamese American, I definitely struggled a lot, even just communicating to my own parents, you know, like what am I doing? Like, why do I think my work is important and what I want to really, why I was so interested in environmental issues in the first place.
Yeah, as someone who's an environmental management major, I can definitely relate to that, kind of that wanting to raise environmental awareness, but also having to kind of justify that kind of passion to your parents and those conversations that have to be held. And Cindy and I met while we were doing advocacy work with OCA Asian Pacific American Advocates and found that we both really cared about environmental issues. And so it's really exciting to be talking with her today. I'm curious about if there's like any early memories you have about hearing about like environmental education or environmental issues and if you were always interested in it from a young age.
Oh, definitely. I definitely like, I think back to my elementary school experience even and learning about endangered species. And I always tell this story, but in my fourth grade yearbook, we had to write down like when I grew up, like what do I want to be? And for my section, I wrote that I wanted to be an animal explorer. And I think it just meant like from an early age, like I was just so interested and passionate about wildlife and animals. And although that never like connected to me pursuing a career in it, I think like that passion always stayed with me. And up until my senior year of high school, where I took an environmental science class and I had a wonderful teacher, Mrs. Watley, who just like reignited that passion in me in a way that connected me to like, I guess like as a high school student thinking about like, what are the issues happening in the world and like how is environmental, you know, she as an environmental educator was able to like help me like think about environmental issues in a way that, you know, I started thinking about sustainability. How does that show up in my life? And that really like carried through into college as well.
I mean, hearing about you wanting to be an animal explorer, I think that's something that sounds really interesting still, and I would love to do that. I'm curious about, like, in your experiences in the environmental field and in environmental education, have you experienced diversity or has it been kind of a lack of diversity overall?
I feel like, yeah, as with, like, many fields, I feel like the environmental field, as you know too, Melody, that it's very much white dominated, and I could sense that from the very beginning as well. Like through an internship at a wildlife center that I did while in college. And it's not like any big things happened where I felt like I was like isolated or anything, but like that feeling that when I was walking into environmental organization space, especially like in my first job out of college, which was with environmental organization, I definitely could feel like my passion for the environment and the work that I was seeing happening, like there was a disconnect in a way, in the way that like I felt like I was trying to portray myself as a certain image of an environmentalist that I couldn't quite grasp, like why I felt like I wasn't being myself. And it made me almost like lose motivation. Like at times, like I would think about like, why am I like pursuing this again? Like it seems like I don't really belong. Like this is not the type of work I'm actually interested in. Yeah.
No, definitely. I think with a lot of fields out there where Asian Americans or AAPIs aren't really represented, you wonder if you can be successful in the field because you haven't really seen anyone else successful who looks like you in that field. And I've experienced that too, where I've been in like environmental internships in rooms where nobody looks like me. No one's even like young or female. And so that's been a challenge. And you know, it's like I love talking to anybody who's passionate about the environment. But yeah, you do wonder why you're pursuing something that nobody else has. And there are, you know, trailblazers out there. There are, you know, notable scientists, environmentalists, but we don't really see them. And so we have role models I think we can look up to if we search, but we don't really have access to them. Like in our schools, like I can't remember a single science teacher I've had that wasn't white, and granted, I'm from Indiana, so that's already unlikely. But I mean, in general, in the experiences I've had in college and away from Indiana, it seems like a lot of the environmental field in general is not very diverse. I mean, this is probably kind of obvious, but how important is diversity when it comes to like the environmental field, or more specifically, environmental education?
Yeah, this is a topic I could talk a long time about. I think it took me a while before I could really like give a solid answer to this because, you know, as you said, like because there's a lack of representation of, you know, Asian Americans and people of color in general in the environmental field, it becomes a point where like you're trying to justify like why you should be in this space and like why is it important to have like diversity and not just diversity, right? Like as much as an organization can say that they have, I don't know, like let's say like a good chunk of their workforce like having being diverse, I think it's also important to consider, are those people like getting into leadership roles? Are their opinions, are their thoughts being well represented, and are they able to really influence the work of the organization itself? And I think this is important because I feel like it's integral to the whole, I don't know, environmental, like why we're so passionate is because the environment is suffering, right? Like the environmental health of the planet, of our communities, we're suffering. And it's so clear that populations, underserved communities, particularly communities of color, are suffering the most. And so it doesn't make sense for like environmental organizations to only be catering to specific types of audiences when their work is supposed to be impacting us as a community as a whole, you know, the human community as a whole. And so not being able to see the issue, your community's issues reflected in that work makes it feel like maybe that isn't for you, or like somehow makes it feel like we don't have an interest in the environment, which is not true, right? I feel like even though we say like there aren't as many of Asian Americans in the field, it's not because we don't care. It's because, you know, we grew up and we didn't maybe see people who were like us and doing that kind of work, and we didn't know that that was something we could do.
That's a great segue into kind of more of our discussion about environmental justice. When I first learned about environmental justice, I think it was freshman year of college. And how it was kind of defined to me is when communities of color or just low-income marginalized communities experience kind of a disproportionate burden of environmental risk. I'm curious about like in your field, what you've been studying, if you've like heard about environmental justice or how that's impacted your work.
Definitely. I think I first heard about environmental justice in college, and it wasn't through class. It was through an extracurricular activity I did through this program called Alternative Spring Break, where students could lead specific issue-based advocacy service trips, I guess. And so one of my good friends and I decided to lead a trip around the human right to water and, thinking about like disparities in access to water. And that's when we started to meet with people like working in environmental justice organizations. And so I think that term at that time for me was very, like, still very, like, general, very vague. I think I just kind of thought about it as like some communities are disadvantaged in, how they're able to access like environmental resources. But I think as I, continued with my career and I, through my first job, which was through the Roger Arthur Young Conservation Fellowship, and learning about how exactly communities of color actually have been like advocating for their health. And I feel like environmental justice intersects with many issues that we wouldn't maybe necessarily connect with. And I think that's partly because the mainstream environmental movement for a long time has very much been white dominated and kind of portraying environmentalism as let's save, like let's keep certain areas of the earth pristine and let's keep the wilderness like the way it is without human influence, and that, like save the pandas and polar bears or whatever. And I think like that's something that's really detached. I think it's really hard for anyone to be able to say like, oh yeah, I can help with that, right? Whereas environmental justice is more of seeing the environment as literally like what you're part of it. Like it's the air, the water, the land that you're on. It's the resources that you're connected to. And it's very much like within your daily life, even if you're not in so-called nature, like being in the wilderness. And so I think that's the difference is in environmental justice world. Like we're not, I think the movement is very much about communities reclaiming access just to basic rights to like water and like healthy air, like healthy environments where they can thrive.
I love how you brought up intersectionality because that's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, especially with COVID-19, where we see certain Black and Brown communities dying of high rates and talking about like occupational health and how the environment really overlaps with so many different things. I think when I first started studying environmental issues, I thought it was just kind of one thing, but you realize like how it connects to transportation, how it connects to public health, all these different things, and you realize how interwoven it is. And at times I agree, like it seems like we can be so disconnected from, saving the polar bears or from other parts of the environment, those kind of conservation efforts. But I like how you kind of brought up all those different ties. Do you remember any specific examples of environmental justice that you've heard about that you've been learning about recently, thinking about? And this can be related to the AAPI community or non-related.
Sure. I definitely think a lot of my studying around environmental justice is self-led research. Like you said, literally like Googling things and collecting my own like research archive of like what environmentalism and environmental justice is. And this is before like I started my program, but I think a major reason, again, like why I was so interested is being able to connect environmentalism to communicate that to the Asian American community. And so I definitely like have done a lot of unlearning in many ways, like of what environmentalism is. And for example, learning how Asian American communities have been present within the conservation world, like from the very beginning in a way. So for example, like learning about how Chinese immigrants, railroad workers like shaped Yosemite and that history of railroad workers not being able to have a healthy working environment. Like that's also part of environmental justice. And also thinking about who were the Asian American leaders in advocating for environmental injustice for our communities, and learning about different leaders such as Pam Tao Lee, who eventually founded the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. Yes, Asian Pacific Environmental Network. And just realizing that these histories were not really presented to us. And I feel like they're really hidden unless you're out looking for them. As a Vietnamese American too, realizing that there are also within my own community, within neighborhood of where I live, that like in Houston, we have this huge like area, Superfund site. And I grew up driving by it quite often because it was on the way to my dad worked, and not realizing that that was something that was polluting our environment, and realizing how close in proximity it is to many neighborhoods, you know, not just mine, but even closer to other communities of color. And so I think from like college onward, I think beginning to realize upon reflection, like where environmental inequities have shown up in my life has been the most of like my own like personal research.
Those are some really great examples that I haven't heard of. And I'm the same way where I've done kind of personal research into it, but there's still a lot that I don't know. And it's interesting that you bring this up because I wonder, like, a lot of the environmental movement kind of has excluded the stories of people of color. And so hearing about those examples, I wonder, like, the ways that Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders have moved the environmental movement forward, but haven't gotten credit for it. I know right now, I mean, the Pacific Islands just went through a really rough like hurricane season, and some of the first climate refugees are coming from the Pacific Islands because the sea levels are rising so fast. Or examples like you mentioned the Superfund site, and for anyone who's listening who doesn't know what Superfund is, I maybe you have a better definition for this, but it's essentially kind of areas in the US or sites that kind of are super polluted by like toxic chemicals or other types of waste. And I think this kind of stems from the mentality where people are like, not in my backyard. So waste sites like dumps where toxic waste are placed ends up being near low-income communities or communities of color. And they're kind of had to have that burden of the polluted waterways, polluted air, toxic chemicals leading into, leading into like leaching into their water supply and therefore like harming their health. And so I didn't know you lived by a Superfund site. I don't I it's like I've read about them, but it's interesting. Like did was that ever addressed when you were growing up? Like, did you know or
I mean, I feel like yeah, stuff like that, like we don't learn about in school, right? Like I would say much of that information is inaccessible in a way that, like, for example, a lot of the community that I live in is like immigrant communities, and so we don't necessarily, like, even if we get reports on, like, oh, like there's like a health issue, like health emergency, like near your area, we wouldn't necessarily be able to translate that to our immigrant families, for example. Even if this information is there, it's either not well distributed or like not accessible for, like, it wouldn't be accessible for my parents at all, like unless I was there to like help translate for them.
That's an interesting point you bring up, that language barrier, because another part of environmental justice is, I think, environmental communication and how you communicate these risks. I know there's been instances in like California in which like factories have collapsed and the workers don't leave because they can't understand what the warning signals are saying, and these are predominantly Asian American communities. And so it shows how like I mean, I don't know, it's not that hard to translate something, I think, with all the tools that we have today and how important that accessibility is for everybody. And also I know kind of like your story is similar to like many other people in this and like around the US, in which like they find out much later in their life that they've been living somewhere that's really detrimental to their health, and they don't really know how detrimental it is until they find out when they're older, when they're able to kind of so they hear about it on the news, or when kind of like the health effects start kicking in. So yeah, I mean that's very shocking to me. I don't know how to respond to that.
Yeah, no, that's that. It is what it is, you know. Like,
Yeah.
how do you cope with it? I don't know.
I'm curious, like we talked about this a little bit, but how do you think the environmental justice movement has evolved from kind of those early examples you talked about, which didn't receive much recognition, to kind of what it is today?
Yeah, I think that is a really great question because I definitely see like people like you who in our generation, I definitely think youth are leading the way, you know, using platforms like social media. You know, the internet is like huge way for, you know, online organizing and like a lot of information to be spread. And I feel like I have learned so much from seeing how especially youth of color now they're, you know, really popular on Instagram, like really being able to share different messages about environmental justice. And I think about Leah Thomas, who founded the Intersectional Environmentalism Platform, which really like puts out a lot of messages and like is a great way for people who might not be familiar with that world to like start seeing how it's how again like environmental justice intersects with many other different areas of social justice issues as well. And I think also the more conversations are had, like just in the way that we're doing this podcast too, I feel like the Asian American community has always been, you know, talking about it, but I think limited to very specific communities or like different spheres. But I feel like it's definitely expanding. The more that we talk about it, the more that people are gonna, you know, really start to like understand what that term means when they first hear it. Oh, right, yeah, environmental justice. Like that's something that we should be caring about. And I definitely also believe that youth of this generation care more. You know, I think that shows up in like the census data and like statistics of Asian Americans do care about their environment and the health of their communities.
That's, I mean, it hits so close to home because I think environmental issues, like especially when you talk about like health hazards, it's something that affects, you know, Asian American Pacific Islander communities directly. And so but there are a lot of times they don't really know about it. Or, I mean, I think in low-income communities too, you don't really have an option where you can move. Or I've heard about like instances where a polluting company will come in and it kind of destroys your community, but at the same time it provides jobs. And so it's, there's really conflicting narratives that come out of that. I'm kind of curious about like other topics you've kind of been learning about or that you've been thinking about lately when it comes to the environment.
Yeah, I think just like continuing sort of building off of what I was talking about, like the environmental justice movement and how I feel like it's evolving. I think something that is really important to mention is that Indigenous communities have always been fighting and advocating for environmental justice ever since like settler colonialist days. Like it's been a thing and their communities continue to suffer today. And the only way, and the only reason why like this issue is becoming more talked about, even though it started, I think environmental justice movement as it is today, like started around the 60s, around the same time as the civil rights movement. And that is due to the work of Black communities. And so I think Asian American communities or even like Latinx communities coming also to the forefront with the ways that environmental justice affects them and being able and like us being able to like clearly develop those narratives and like bring those stories to the forefront of that. And not only that, but like it's not we are each of our communities are affected, you know, individually by these issues, right? We organize together because it is something that we all face together. And so it makes sense for us to really learn from each other's movements and stand in solidarity with other communities that have been doing the work for a really long time. I think that's where I find myself being just really curious and learning about Indigenous ways of knowing and like how our perceptions of human versus nature and like human culture has been like shaped from mainstream education, like has shaped these narratives about how we're supposed to interact with our environment. There's so many, I think, platforms now to be able to learn like what reclaiming access to the environment means for each individual. What is your relationship to the land that you are on? You know, do you know the Indigenous peoples who were caretakers of the land that you're on? What is, do you know where your food comes from? Like, do you know where your water comes from? Things like that, I think you begin to explore. Oh, I am really dependent. I'm part of the environment. I'm not just because, you know, we're like in this human made world, we're not separate from it. And so I think that's something that I am still like examining within my own work and the work that I do is making sure that I can allow for youth to be able to learn that earlier on than I did. You know, what is the environment? What does that mean to them?
Those are some really great sentiments and pieces that you shared. Just to kind of wrap everything up, I'm curious if you have any advice for people who want to learn more about environmental justice or who want to go into the environmental field. I know that the environmental field, it seems like we've talked about today, a lot of, you know, kind of not the most optimistic of topics. And it can be kind of like negative and sad to hear about some of these sometimes because there is a lot of, you know, racism, a lot of injustice occurring around the U.S. and around the world when it comes to environmental issues. But there also are ways to be optimistic and kind of move forward and know that you're contributing to a cause, that you're going to make a difference, not only to the environment, but to the people involved in it as well. And so I'm kind of curious, yeah, also, like, in addition to the advice you have, kind of how you keep your head up and remain positive throughout your work.
Yeah, I really love this question, because I think there's just so many different pathways that one could take, and no pathway is the right path to take. And that's, I think maybe I learned that the hard way. I didn't, you know, even consider the field that I'm working in back in college. And so I think, first of all, is, again, environment is really intersectional with everything you could think of. So let's say, like, if you're in a health field, like, there is a way you can think about environment in the medical field as well. How are your patients affected by, like, environmental health disparities within their community? Or if you're, like, engineer, like, how are you thinking of sustainable ways of engineering? I don't know that world, but I imagine within, like, each sphere, even if you're not going to be directly, like, I don't know, like a wildlife conservationist or environmental educator, there are definitely different spheres where you can really push environmental issues to rise to the top of people's minds, because I think that's really where the work happens, is not just the environmental field as this siloed field where you know, work for the planet, but, like, it's really involved, and it should involve everyone in any sphere. Something that keeps me, like, motivated and keeps me going is just also remembering to take time to go outside. I think that's the biggest thing, is it's easy with work and school for everyone to just, like, get bogged down with all the screen time and not be able to really, like, emotionally, like, mentally, like, recharge while being outside. And not just, you don't have to go to a national park, or, I mean, you can, that's great. But, like, you know, even, like, local parks, and or even just spending, like, some time being mindful while you're outside in any green space. It doesn't have to be all trees. I think that's a thing people might not think about, is within urban spaces, there are also, like, ways to find nature and be able to remember, you know, what the weather is like, feel like you yourself, like, in an environment, like, really tune into that, remember why you're doing what you're doing and where you're grounded in.
That's some very powerful advice. Thank you so much for being here with me today, Cindy, and for sharing all of the knowledge that you have with us. I'm really excited to see everything you do with environmental education, and I'm sure that your conversation with me today has also inspired some other people who are probably more curious about the environmental field and environmental justice. Hereabouts is produced by ACC Director Melanie Castillo-Kilther. Our discussion is with Melody Gao and Cindy Nguyen. Our engineers are Hiba Bhatt, Elise Lee, and Kulsum Tapal. Our theme music is Eternal Youth by Rude. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, broadcasted on WFHB. Again, we air every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Stay tuned for some more. See you next week.